Grace, peace, and mercy be yours in our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson today, John chapter 8. Let us pray as we consider God's word. Dear Lord, whenever your word is proclaimed, richly, powerfully bless your word in our ears. And may that word penetrate to our hearts to give us faith, give us knowledge, understanding, draw us close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are you mad, sad, or glad? Which one describes you today? Today, Holy Trinity Sunday, halfway through the church here. The church, as always, we boldly confess there's one God, not five gods or seven gods or two gods or 19 gods. There's one true God. Everything else is an idol that's not God at all, of the devil. One true God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Father who made us, the Son who saved us, the Spirit who sanctifies us, who washed little Elijah and Dalton today. Praise be to God, the blessed Trinity, the one true God that we know, that we believe in. He's told us about himself, given us faith. But as the world out there hears about God, the Christian God, the Trinity, there are some that are mad. There's many that are sad. And there's others that are glad hearing the name of the Trinity. We have, if you will, all three responses to God in the gospel lesson. This is how people react to God. First of all, when people hear of the true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, many people are downright mad about it. And they reject it. And that is the sobering message of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We read on Holy Trinity Sunday, Jesus just about gets killed. That's what happens. The people, the Jews in John 8, they insult Jesus. They call him a demon. They've done that before. That's pretty insulting. And they call him a Samaritan, insulting. And then at the end of the text, they try to take him out and stone him. They want to kill him. And they do kill him a few chapters later in chapter 19. They get the job done. Why? Because Jesus claims to be God. He says those words that I read before Abraham was, and Abraham lived some 4,000 years before Jesus, something like that. Before Abraham was, I am. I am God in your midst. The I am recalls the burning bush when God spoke to Moses, I am that I am. And Jesus, this humble carpenter from Nazareth, is saying, I am the God of the burning bush. I am the God of creation. I am your God, and I'm right here now as a human being. I'm the second person of the Trinity. And he goes on to say that if you know my word, believe my word, you won't taste death. My words will give you life. They'll give you faith, and you'll live forever in heaven. And those are words only God can speak. We think back to creation when God spoke, and his words made it happen. His words have power in them. And Jesus is saying, my words have power in them because I'm the creator. I can give life through my very words. He's claiming to be God. And they reject it. And they're angry. And let's kill him. And this is a very sobering message for Trinity Sunday, a reality check for the church. And we're reminded that many, many people in the world reject the true God. Estimate, 3 out of 4 people in the world do not know the Trinity. They do not believe in the Trinity, and some get very angry about it and want to kill Christians who do believe in the Trinity. And we all know that watching the news. But we're not shocked, and we're not discouraged, and we don't quit and throw up our hands and say, oh, what can we possibly do? One little church. No, we boldly, in the power of the Spirit, we boldly have a mission to convert the 3/4 of the world. To tell all those people about the one true God of mercy and grace and salvation. The God that loves them and will forgive them all their sins as he does us. That's our response. Not discouragement and shock and let's quit and we're sad. But we go. We're motivated with love and compassion to tell of our God. You know, Reader's Digest I get, and the head article was How to Survive Anything this month. And they listed a variety of circumstances, and they give you tips how to survive that circumstance. And they listed how to survive the election season. And the number one tip was turn off the TV, okay? How to survive an ice cream headache in the summertime. Now, that's really important. How to survive a terrorist attack. That's pretty important. How to survive other things. How to survive being out in the wilderness by yourself. How am I going to survive if I'm in some weird circumstance? But one thing they don't list that interested me, they don't list how to survive hell. And that's the question of life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not even one. We're all sinners, deserving the wrath and anger of God. Rather than we being mad at him, he has every right to be mad at us. Because we've broken his commandments and sinned miserably. And so how can we survive, Reader's Digest, the damnation of God? And God in his love provided the way, and that way is Jesus, his son. And that way is the cross, where he suffered my hell and your hell, suffered for my sins and suffered for all your sins. And that is the way. And we never water that down or compromise that or don't talk about that. We teach Jesus Christ as the way, the Son of God. He is the way to the Father, and it's all happened by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a mission to tell all the angry people that believe in idols of the true God. It's hard work, but we do it. A second response to the Trinity is sadness. Some are mad, angry, reject Jesus, reject the church, and some are just downright sad. And I suggest the crowd in John 8 that's watching the scene of Jesus and the Jewish leaders, the crowd, there's always a big crowd there. I suggest they're probably kind of sad. They're sad because there's division. Why can't Jesus and the leaders just get along? They're always arguing. The leaders want to kill him. Jesus doesn't back down. He speaks the truth to them. Why can't they just all get along and compromise? We all be happy and smile and coexist, please. The gospel is always a crowd that's on the fence. You and I are part of the crowd in John 8, watching this. And the crowd's usually on the fence. Is Jesus God or is he not God? Is he the Christ? Is he not the Christ? Is he the Savior? Is he right or are they right? What's really going on here? Can't they just all get along? And this I see is a great temptation for the church today. Let's just all get along. Let's just all get along. Every religion has some truth in it, right? Wrong. But this is the thought. All religions have some truth, whether they're Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. They all have some truth. Can't we just all get along, kind of mix things together, choose the best doctrines out of every denomination, out of every church and religion, choose the best and mix it all together, nice little potluck, and we just serve it to the people. And we all just kind of get along and smile, and there's peace. Dear friends, you can't mix truth and error. You can't mix good and evil, or you just have evil. You can't mix the truth and the error. You're not going to mix poison with your lunch today, are you? And say, let's just all get along and have peace. I'm not the one that said that God's the only true God. God says that in the Bible. I am God and there is no other. So blame God, not me. I'm just speaking his word. God says that. I'm not the one that suggests that Jesus is God. Jesus says that and proves it. I'm not the one that says Jesus is the only way to heaven. His cross is the only way. There's no other way. The cross is it. Jesus says that. So look at Jesus and I and say, I don't believe you, Jesus. That's what he says. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is the great burden and responsibility of the church to proclaim the one true God and the one way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. And if people get mad, they get mad. If they're sad, they get sad. But we proclaim it because we're glad about it. And we want them to be saved too. No mixing. You know, Janie Lanham given Ann and I tickets to the Tennessee-Florida football game this fall. And I thought, you know, how would you feel if I wore orange the first half and wore my Tennessee hat and sang Rocky Top the first half, then at halftime got my Florida gear on, my Florida shirt, and did the gator chomp in front of everybody. Let's just all get along. Let's root for Tennessee and Florida. It doesn't matter. Let's just mix it together. We all like football. It doesn't, but let's do Rocky Top and the Gator Chop. Let's just all get along, people. You would run me out of Neyland Stadium. Get rid of this guy. And it's just football. But even with football, there's something deep inside of us with our team. That's my team. I'm not going to root for the other team. I can't root for the other team. This is my team. And it's just football. We're talking about God here. And the truth of His Word. And I pray the Spirit gives us something deep in here. Deep. I'm convicted and convinced of who God is. He's given me faith. He's Father, Son, Spirit. Christ is my Savior. I'll never give that up. Never give it up. I'll die for that. I'll confess that. Never mix it with anything. Or I'm slapping Christ in the face saying, your cross isn't good enough. I'll mix with something else. That's what you're doing. I don't need your cross, Jesus. I'll pick something else. Really? When He died for you, He's not ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Him. He confesses you before the Father and says, these are my children. I love them. Forgive them, Father. May you confess them before the world and don't be shy about it. Said before, no time for the church to be quiet and shy and wimpy and weak. The church must stand up and confess the true God. Some are mad, some are sad, but may we be glad. And who is the one person in the gospel lesson who is glad to see Jesus? Abraham. Abraham, who lived thousands of years before Jesus, says he rejoiced in my day and he saw it and was glad. Why was Abraham glad to see Jesus, seeing Him in the future? Because Abraham had faith given by the Holy Spirit. Abraham, as led by the Word of God, believed that one would come from his family. That would be Jesus. He came from the family of Abraham. And that this Christ, this Jesus, would die for his sins, be the sacrifice for all of his sins, would rise again and conquer death for him. Abraham was glad because he had faith in Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. He had faith that God forgave him his sins. He was righteous in God's sight. God didn't count his sins against him. God loved him, was with him through all the trials of his life. God was there and God would take him to heaven. That's faith. That's the gladness of faith. And may we people ever be glad. When I begin church in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, what do you say? Amen. Say it. Amen. Not a amen. Like, okay. But amen, I believe it's true. This is my God. Who has delivered me, saved me, loves me, is with me, my refuge, my rock, my light, my God, who has called me to be His own. I'm here to worship Him. How wonderful and incredible to be in His presence, to hear His Word, to be washed like Elijah and Dalton, to eat and drink of His Son's body and blood, to be with my God. How wonderful, how glad I am. I can conquer everything this day because I have my God. And if God is for me, what possibly can be against me? This is the confidence of the Christian. Even when persecuted, I'm glad that I have God. I'm sick, dying, I'm glad I have my God with me. I'm lonely, I'm sad, I'm depressed, but I am glad in here because I have my God. He loves me. I'm baptized, I am His own, and He is mine. You hear the great news this week? Said it was big news on the radio. They are making breweries in Denver and in Indianapolis are making a special Peyton Manning beer. It's going to be called Omaha, I think. Or Omaha, he always calls that word out. And it's going to be $15 a six-pack. Who's going to rush and go buy the Peyton Manning Omaha special beer? Don't waste your money. Always something new and silly in this world. What's the new, silly, shallow thing we can do to try to make money and try to please people? When are we ever going to get over this stuff? We have the new thing here. His name is Jesus. The new thing is here. It's the forgiveness of sins. The new thing is here. It's called baptism. The new thing is here. It's called the words of eternal life. The new thing is here. It's called Holy Communion. The newness of life with God that will bubble up into eternal life and the resurrection of my body. This is the new thing. Come and receive. Come all summer. Don't take a vacation. Come hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Come in faith. Come with joy. Come with gladness like Abraham. It's Holy Trinity Sunday. It's halftime of the church year. You hear that name, Trinity? Some are mad. We have a mission. Some are sad. May we be glad, for He is our God, and we are His children. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.